Christ had just left for heaven. The church of Jerusalem was flourishing. It was just pinging. Every cylinder was firing. I mean to tell you, the church was going great places. Thousands were being saved and added to the church. We read of the Holy Spirit coming to the 120 in upper room, and Peter preaches his first recorded sermon. And during that message, about 3,000 were saved and baptized the same day. The next week, 5,000 just men were saved. Boy, how about that kind of preaching? Amen. I'm telling you, it was just on a roll. And the upper room where he preached, it was just an incredible thing as he came out and preached to them. When those 5,000 were saved, it didn't count the women and children. And you know, you got men, you got women and children, amen. And boy, what a brilliant thing. Well, great awakening was taking place. Great things were being done. People were getting saved. Houses were blessed by God. Families were reunited. Things were going on great. And of course, when great things happen in Christianity, the devil always sticks his ugly attitude in good things, doesn't he? Here they're working very hard and trying to take care of the widows of that day. Back in those days, the widows, they only had their family. If they didn't have family, they were just out of they're out of it. They didn't have nothing. But the church says, hey, let's do what God said. Jesus Christ preached about taking care of the widows and the fatherless, and let's get really working here. And the good thing began to derail and divide and destroy everything that was good. He instigated this problem that started among the non-Hebrew-speaking widows and the Hebrew-speaking widows. And they said that the people, that the ladies, the widows that could not speak Hebrew, they were Jews, but they could not speak Hebrew, were complaining. They said, hey, we're not being taken care of as well as the people that speak Hebrew. And, of course, like I said, Satan always is in there to destroy good things. You know, church can do a lot of things, a lot of good things, but boy, you let one thing go bad, and the whole thing is a ruckus. Or the whole thing is exploded, and Satan exploits those things. Here's what a good church does when they encounter a problem. They bring the problem to their pastor. In this case, of the church of Jerusalem. In fact, this church had 12 pastors. They were the disciples. And look here in chapter 6 of verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, disciples mean we are willing to be taught. We have the disciples and we have the apostles. The apostles are appointed by God. The disciples are called by God to accept Him as their personal Savior. And the disciples are multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians. Many people believe there's probably about 8,000, at least 8,120 people in this church. That is very conservative, because that's not counting the women and children. And there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. A lot of people get a little tripped up there and they say, oh, the Greeks and the Hebrews. No wonder that. No. These people were all Hebrews, but all Hebrews could not speak Hebrew. They could only speak Greek. And then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them. Hey, church, let's come on. Let's work this thing out. Let's get this thing taken care of. Let's stop this bickering and stop this complaining and stop this pointing fingers. People do that once, Paul. You know, my mom said, you point that finger, you're three of them pointing back at you. I said, what about the thumb? She said, never mind, son. It's the Lord, and the Lord is going to get you for that. Amen. So, then the 12 multitude disciples unto them, saying, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. The 12 pastors said, hey, we can't leave the Word of God. This is what we've been called to. This is This is our faithfulness to our call. Our call is to do what? The Bible says here, the first thing we're to do is to be faithful to the Word of God and serve, not serve tables. It is not reason we leave the Word of God. You see that in your Bible? It's not reason we leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. They said to the church, hey, look around. There's got to be at least seven men that are honest and got a good report among you that you could trust with the business of taking care of these widow ladies. There must be seven men out there that would be able to do this without having to always constantly look after them. You can inspect. You don't have to always inspect on them. Have you ever met someone you just know they're going to do the job? And then you meet some people and say, I don't know about that person. I don't know if I want him to put him over something because he never finishes the job or never gets to it. I heard one man said, always choose somebody that's busy and they'll get it done. Choose somebody that you can trust. Hey, take care of this. I got enough to worry about. Let's go, amen. Therefore, the brethren looked out. Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. They knew what the filling of the Holy Ghost were, didn't they? They knew exactly what it was. That was why was the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because they'd go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. They were excited about what God had done in their heart. They were bold in telling about Jesus Christ, whom we may appoint over, two words, this business. What was the business? Serving tables. It. Not pastoring the church. Not telling the preacher what to preach. Not telling the preacher what to do. It was to take care of this business. Now, a lot of churches, and some of you are from some of those churches that know about some deacons that start telling the preacher what to do and forcing him. Boy, I thank God for Heritage Baptist Church. I thank God for your biblical reasoning in the Word of God. I do. That's why I've been able to pastor here for 32 years. I want to be faithful to my call. My call is to be in the Word of God and in the ministry. That's my call. There's a special calling for that. It's called pastor, presbyteros, superintendent of the flock, one who reminds our people to live holy and righteously. It is my job to be praying and to study the Word of God and to be in the ministry, to do the things that God has called me to do, to witness to people, to tell them about Christ. But God said, hey, to these men, they had a choice. And they were given a choice. Hey, you choose out seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that you may be able to put over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. There's a lot of ministry of the Word, isn't there? There's a lot to do out there. Well, first of all, the apostles were very resolute about being faithful to their call. We're not changing our call. I know there's some people. I know there's some widows that are really having a tough time. I understand that. But there are people who are not called to what we are called to that can do the job. It's like sometimes at work, somebody's doing something and it doesn't get done, and the boss, instead of doing what he has, or maybe he's out getting appointments, or maybe he's out there getting bids and things like that, the boss has to stop a job and go do something that the laborer is supposed to do himself and should know how to do it. That slows everything up. That slows a lot of things up. And so the responsibility of that deacon was to do what? Help the preacher. Do the things that he didn't have time to do. I thank God for you folks. I am so thrilled. I cannot tell you how I thank God for you folks. Yesterday some things were going on. I called the family and said, preacher, I can't help you, but I want to. And another family said, yeah, we'll be right over there. Before I knew it, they were at my house helping. I had to leave. It's the most incredible things. Somebody mowed my lawn this week. Somebody watered my flowers, taking care of the things that I just don't have time to do. And you've given me the opportunity to minister to our community. You've given me the opportunity to minister to you. One man said, "Why are you doing that for the preacher?" He says, "Because I'm selfish." And the man said, "What do you mean you're selfish?" He says, "I want my preacher to have time to preach and be in that Word of God. And more of the Word of God he can get, the more he instills in me on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and the time we're together. I am very jealous about that. To that, I thank you for that." The apostles were determined to do their calling. What is your calling today? I guess, you know, my sermon is today is faithful to your calling. What is your calling today? Where has God put you in this world? What are you supposed to do? What does God want you to do? You're not to be a leaf that's floating down the river. You're supposed to be like a fish swimming up that river. You're to be working and serving in some capacity, some place. What is your call? Faithful to the call. What's God called you to do in this whole world? What was your early pastor's calling? Give themselves continually to prayer and to ministry in the Word. They stood up and he taught them what God had called them to do. It is not reason for us to leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What? Serving tables. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. They were faithful to their call, unwilling to give up their calling that God had called them to do. They were unwilling to do that which someone else could do without their calling. Look how the early church encouraged their pastor and agreed with their pastor. Look at here, chapter 6 and verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. I'm reminded of another place in the Bible where one chose the teaching of God more important than material things. You remember the story. It's over in Luke chapter 10. Martha was in the kitchen, fixing up a meal for the Lord. She gets agitated and frustrated as she sees Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening intently. I've never seen this before. I was reading this again yesterday, and I said, she interrupts the Lord's teaching. Can you imagine that? What if the Lord Jesus Christ was right here, speaking and teaching to you, and you say, Corey needs to be doing this, and Julie needs to be doing this, and, you know, and Rick needs to be over there. And would you have the audacity to stop the master of all teachers? She did. Listen what Luke chapter 10, verse 39 says. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, now get this, was cumbered about much serving and came to him. I'm not sure if she got in his face or not, but she said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Many things. "I'm just here right now." She ain't going to shut up. She's going to keep it up, amen. Right? That's what you do, right? And that's how you're supposed to do it. You just keep it up, keep it up. But one thing is needful. Verse 42, ladies. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You can always make fried bread, but you can't always have Jesus. You can always have your time with her then, but you can't always have Jesus. I look at you dear sweet ladies out here today, and I know that you're raising those little ones. And it's a great task. But I'm going to tell you something. You need time with Jesus. You need to stop and listen to Jesus. And you need to stop and ask God to teach you how to raise these little critters. Amen. You need to stop and say, dear God, I pray for my little one. I know she's just a baby, but I'm praying for her husband already that he'll be good to her and he'll love the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll be faithful to his church and faithful to God and faithful to his pastor. And I'm praying that God gives her a man like that. Amen? That God will keep her pure and keep him pure. You say, but pastor, my baby's only 2 years old. It won't be long. You'll turn around and you'll be at a wedding. So it's your responsibility to pray for those children, amen. So your dad, too. Take something at last. Be faithful to your call. Again, when one is faithful to the call, it can never be taken away from him for all eternity. And Jesus said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. See that? One thing is needful. But Mary has chosen the good part. Guess what, Martha? You didn't choose the good part. I know it's nice to have a nice cooking, and I know it's nice to have a lot there, but I'm going to tell you something. There's just something about the Word of God. There's just something about taking time with Jesus. As preacher, I must be absolute in my conviction that I am careful to be faithful to my call to prayer. Things can steal my time. Things can... My time is gone. If I do not have my prayer time in the morning, before my sweet wife gets up, I will promise you I will not get my time of prayer. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have your time in the morning with the Lord God, you won't have it all day for the most part. Satan always gets me to promise, well, I'll get it later. Later usually does not happen. I put in a hard work week, so do you. Many times going to bed at 2:30 in the night, getting up early in the morning. Somebody asked me, did I wake you up? Yeah, it was 9 o'clock, but I'd been up until 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Some of you guys work night shifts. How many work night shifts? How many of you actually sleep after 9 o'clock in the morning? Sure you do. Absolutely. If you don't, you wouldn't be good for the next day work. You're just adjusting your schedule. You work from nights and days, afternoons. You understand about that. You'll really understand about that. And then you got some kids. They're sick, yelling and screaming, you know. Next door neighbor dog barks all night, amen. Or in the afternoon, you're taking a nap and trying so you can go to work that night. Dogs are barking. Kids are yelling and screaming. They got the rock bands going. Have mercy. As a preacher, I must resolve in my conviction that I am careful and be faithful to the cause of reading the Bible and my sermon preparation. That has to be a must. I want to feed you something. I want to give you something you can take and you can leave this place and say, you know what? That blessed my soul. My preacher, he preached that sermon. Boy, I'll tell you what. Hey, you remember the story? Leave it alone, Dwayne. How many remember that? Good. Isn't that amazing? You remember that, but you don't even remember the scriptures. But anyway. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, an illustration is like a window into the sermon. You understand it. Of course we understand. Hey, leave it alone, Dwayne, means that there are certain things that it's not my responsibility to judge. It's God's judging. It's God's responsibility to take care of those things. And those people are brutal to us, and those people are mean to us, and those people are... You say, we're supposed to leave it to the Lord. I will repay, God said. A preacher must be resolved in his conviction that I am careful to keep the main thing in my ministry. The main thing. You know what our main thing is? Get people saved. Baptize them. Ground them in the faith of the Word of God. That's our main thing. Our main thing is not picnic, so that's an exciting thing to do. Amen. Our main thing is not the bus ministry. The main thing is the children on those buses. Our main thing is not to just be in the community, but participate in our community to help them, to tell them that this is what a true Christian actually looks like and acts like. Amen. That's our ministry. Our ministry is not just coming here for an hour and listening to the old loudmouth preacher preach at you. Our ministry is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, of being a Christian. James says a true Christian is this, one who looks after the fatherless and the widow indeed and lives unspotted by the world. That's God's Word said. So if you're doing those three things, guess what? Guess what? As a preacher, I must be resolute in my conviction that I am careful to call to other men of God. Be part of their ministry. Be part of their encouragement. Amen. That's our job. Hey, brother, how you doing over there? I just talked to the new pastor Sheridan at Ruby Valley Baptist Church this morning. And got to talk to him a little bit. And I said, man, I can't wait to meet you. Well, he said, I'm coming to the sportsman's camp. I said, man, that's good. Man, I can't wait to meet you, Tony. You know, you should be so excited about meeting people. This ladies' meeting, this mini spectacular, man, you're going to see some of old friends that you used to have, and you're going to meet some new friends, and you ought to be so excited because they're Christians, and they got the same burden as you do, and the same heartaches as you do, just different names and different faces. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth those things which are before. Being faithful to the call of the ministry, this one thing I do, I am not going to let anything get in the way of the ministry that God has called me into. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of toys out there that can keep you from the ministry. There's a lot of things that can keep you from serving God. I asked the people, how many of you went to Glacier? You need to go to Glacier. But don't let it get you so caught up in your camp and everything that you don't come to church and come back together again. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're gone, we miss you. Be faithful to your church. Don't ever let your call. Don't ever leave your call. This one thing I do. Paul had one great aim and one grand purpose in life. I told my Sunday school class, hey, what's your purpose in life? What is your purpose? Some of you people ought to purpose to come to Sunday school. I'll just tell you that right now. That won't cost you but a quarter to throw that at you. But you ought to have a purpose in life. What am I doing? Why am I here? Why am I using God's air and drinking His water? What am I doing here? We ought to have a determination in our lives that we ought to have some purpose in our lives. It's, yes, this is my call. This is what God has given me. Hey, you know what? Maybe your call is to take care of my wife. Maybe it's your call to help out Jerry. Maybe it's your call to help out Roy and Carol. These are the needy folks of our community. Maybe it's your call to help out Mrs. Talmadge. Tina. I heard they drug you clean across on Wednesday over there so you'd be at the church Wednesday night. That's your call. My call is I'm at church. I'm going to see things. I'm going to make sure. I asked one guy, I said, listen, when you see a lady with that little baby she's carrying and that 480-pound thing that they have to carry with a baby inside, say, can I take your baby and take it out to your car? How many of you ladies would like that? Don't lie to me. Raise your hand. I'm trying to help you here. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. We have people in our church every Sunday morning. They come up and fold their bulletins. God bless them. Every morning. Every morning they're there. Every Sunday morning. We got people coming here and clean this church. Week after week after week after week. Hey, what's your purpose in life? What are you doing? Well, I'm existing. Yeah, that's just about it. That's a terrible thing of life, isn't it? Just to exist. Just sitting in front of the TV eating bonbons all day. That's not much fun. That's pretty much depressing, amen. Don't be guilty of taking God's air and not using it, amen. Don't be guilty of just being a person. Be somebody. Do something for God. This one thing I do, Paul said. That was his aim. That was his purpose of life. He had he did not mingle the world with Christianity to gain the both. He did not seek to obtain or accumulate wealth, but salvation. He did not seek to obtain honor here or a crown of glory thereafter. He says, I want to serve God here. He had one object, one aim, one purpose in his soul. This was his single purpose. He owed his extraordinary attainment and piety and his uncommon success in the ministry. He said, this one thing I do. He said, all I want to know is Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. A man will accomplish little who allows his mind to be distracted by multiplicities of objects. Years ago, a man, when they would hunt, they had an old trick. Before binoculars, they would cup their hand over their eyes and look through the holes to narrow down the area they were concentrating on. You'd be surprised what you can see when you do that. When firing a weapon, we do not look at the whole target. We pick a spot. We concentrate on dead center or bullseye. Concentrate on the area of our shot placement. All you guys say amen to that. Or girls too, I know. A Christian will accomplish nothing who has no single great aim and purpose of his soul. His purpose should be secure the prize and renounce everything that this world has to offer so he may attain for Jesus Christ. Let us then so live that we're able to say that there is one great object which we always have in view, that we mean to avoid everything which would interfere to that. And as Philippians said, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth the things which are before. One thing I do, which he was intent upon, constantly attending, earnestly persuaded. It was the main and the principal thing that he set upon, which employed himself, which engrossed all his thought, his desires, his affections, his time, his labor. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. That should sum up our life. And your life. That is what I want to do. And it should be my prayer and your prayer for the rest of our life. Mary had a taste of when Jesus had told Martha, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, that which cannot be taken away. 1 Timothy, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house, having his children subject in all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall in reproach in the snare of the devil. David Livingstone, the great missionary of the darkest continent, Africa, said, "Religion is not a matter of fits and starts and stops, but is an everyday affair." I pray to God that each one of us would get to the point in our life that we realize how important it is to serve God. And that we'd be faithful to our call. Every one of you have got a call. I don't care who you are. You've got a call. You just don't know your purpose. God has called you into the ministry. And what are you doing with it? Are you out there telling people about Jesus Christ? Are you serving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what? We saw all day, Daniel, man, he purposed in his heart to do that what was right. I wonder if you purpose in your heart. I purpose in my heart, I'm not going to do that. I purpose in my heart, I'm going to do that. What is your call? What's your desire? Father in heaven, I pray, Lord Jesus, that this would not be a waste of time. Dear God, we would really, really question our purpose of life. We would question our call and we say, "Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? It just seems like all we do, we come to church and that's it. We go home and live the same. God, give me purpose of life. Lord, give me my call. Show me, Lord Jesus, what I should be doing. That I can make a difference, that I can make a change in our community. Lord, help us to see that there are places that we can serve in our community. There are places that this is our community and we want to be part of it. And Lord, may it be that we can stem the tide of evil. That we can stem the tide of troubles and heartaches, and we can be a help. And we can be a hand. And we can be a voice. Sometimes it seemed like in the wilderness. But Lord God, that we would stand the test for you. Oh God, this one thing I do, Lord, help us to give us a purpose of life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." And boy, I'd sure like to know that. My heart aches for not knowing what I should be doing. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't know if I die today, I go to heaven. I sure like to know that." If you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you lift your hand this morning and say, "Preacher, would you please pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved." If you're here like that, why don't you pray this prayer? Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save my soul right now." If you did that, would you lift your hand? accomplished. You hear anything, say, preacher? I've been saved. I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Preacher, I've been saved, but my life just not the way it should be. Oh, I pray to God that God would speak to your hearts in life today. I pray that you'd have a purpose in life. I pray that you have a job to do when you'd find it. The calling of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Everyone standing, you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. But I'd like to know that. Why don't you step out of that seat and come right now? Say, preacher, I want to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. I need to take care of that. You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where God has called us to be. Why don't you come? Well, I pray you get a purpose. I pray that you get something. The calling of God is upon you. I don't care who you are. You don't have to be a pastor to have a calling. Everyone ought to have a calling of God on their life. This is where I believe God called me to do. You say, but preacher, it doesn't seem like very important. Oh, yes. Every call of God is important. Every call is God important. Precious Heavenly Father, we ask you today, Lord God, that you would instill in our hearts the urgency that we have to have a purpose in our hearts and a calling. Dear God, you know the needs of these dear folks. Would you meet them? May we be a help to them, an encouragement to walk close to you. And Lord, that we would say, thy will be done, Lord. Lord, now be with us now. Be with us as we have our picnic today and our services. May it be a blessing and help and encouragement to each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the privilege of serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.